Welcome to today's session. Praise the Lord, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Ruth. We continue with my expository verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hopefully you've been following me throughout this teaching here out of the Gospel of Luke, and you've even listened to Mark and Matthew and to some of my Old Testament teachings right here in this podcast. So today we are in Luke chapter 8, a very lengthy chapter. We are going to get a couple of sessions here. But what is the gist of these upcoming verses? We are going to learn about the parable of the sower, a very popular parable, which according to the Lord Jesus himself is the foundational parable in order for you to understand the rest of his teachings and in order for you to have a greater understanding of how the kingdom of God operates in the here and now. Okay? I had discussed this parable at length in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 13. And it is in Mark chapter 4 verse 13 where the Lord said that if you do not understand this parable, how would you understand his other parables? So this is the foundational parable because it pertains to how the Word of God work, or how the Word of God will work in your life and in my life. Okay, so I want to clarify right away that the Lord Jesus is not teaching about farming. Okay, so with that, let me define in a very simplistic manner what a parable is. A parable is a story told to illustrate and highlight a spiritual or a moral lesson. In this situation, the Lord Jesus would use farming, okay, in order to illustrate and highlight a deeper spiritual and moral lesson for us. Okay, and before we even get into the verses, I want to just lay the foundation to say that this parable of the sower has five key elements. So let us get into the elements first before we get into the verses. Element number one is the sower or the farmer, okay, who is scattering the seed. And back then when the Lord taught this parable, he was the sower. Today, in the here and now, a sower is a preacher, a Bible teacher like myself, because I am preaching the Word of God, the seed, the Word of God. Okay. Number two is the seed that the Lord Jesus talks about in this parable, and that seed is none other than the Word of God, which is the incorruptible Word of God, according to 1 Peter 1:23. And many other scriptures. It is the perfect, flawless Word of God, according to Proverbs 30:5 and many other scriptures. And the third element is the birds, okay? That represents Satan himself, who is after stealing the Word of God from our hearts, if we allow him to. Okay, as you will soon find out, Satan's key role in your life is to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus tells us that out of the Gospel of John 10:10. And if Satan can steal the Word of God from your heart, then you have no foundation to go by. So Satan here is the thief, and that is the birds. Number four is the soil, okay, the soil whereby the farmer was scattering the seed. And the soil represents four types of hearts or hearers, those who will hear the Word of God. As you are listening to me right now, you are a hearer, okay? And out of these four types of hearts or four types of persons or even four types of responses, please be aware that the first response or the first heart is that of an unbeliever. And when we get into the verses proper, that will become obvious. The second through the fourth type of response or heart is a believer. Okay, so just keep that in mind. But quickly here, the first type of heart is an unbeliever. The second type of heart or person is a believer who receives the word with joy, but they do not allow the word of God to take root in their heart. So Satan can easily steal it from them. And then the third type of heart is someone who receives the word of God, but then they allow the stressors in life to choke the word of God, so the word of God becomes ineffective. And then the fourth type of heart is somebody who is open and allows the word of God to do its work of sanctification and growth in their lives. So those are the four types of heart. Now, the fifth element in this parable is so significant. They are all significant, but please listen to this carefully. The fifth element in this parable here is the absolute truth that the word of God is the only thing that is constant. The word of God is the only seed that remains the same, as the hearers were listening to the word of God, but the hearers would respond differently to the word of God, which is constant. So this goes to debunk this whole notion that the word of God works at times, the word of God doesn't work at other times. That is absolutely false. The word of God always will work if we receive it with an open heart and we give it time and we allow the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and do his work in our hearts. So God's word, and this parable will prove this, God's word is never the issue here. Let me repeat that. The word of God is never the problem. The problem is how we receive the word of God. So this will become so clear as we proceed. So hopefully by me just saying that, I am setting some of you free, because you may be wondering, how come the word of God doesn't work for my life? It always works. What you need to do is to go to God, the Holy Spirit, and ask him to reveal to you areas in your life where you are hardened or you are insensitive to God's word, because the word of God always works 100% if we give it time and we allow it to work. So this should be something that should set you free, because if the word of God always work, then I know that I am the problem if I'm not seeing results in my life, and it's not God. It's God is faithful. So, and when I say I or you are the problem, it's not meant to condemn. It just meant for you to consider the fact that there could be something that you're not correctly hearing from God, or you're not correctly applying in your life. And it just calls for you to seek God more in that area, so God can reveal his truths to you, because God is always willing. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we study God's word. Friend, as this ministry is blessing you, I want to speak to your heart. Would you consider blessing us back with a one-time donation or become a Christ-centered partner? As a Christ-centered partner, you join hands with us and with the Lord in the middle, and you pray for us on a regular basis. We pray for you on a regular basis, and then you bless us financially with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. And the primary way we will use your financial donation is to pay for studio time, so we can produce more Bible teachings like this and to reach more people. This is God's will for you, for myself, and for the body of Christ, that we give into his work so we can reach many more people. And God is so faithful. He has told us throughout his word that he will bless us back abundantly, exceedingly, as we give right back into his work. One scripture you can stand on is Luke 6:38. God will bless you back as you give into this fruitful ministry, so we can pay for studio time to produce more shows and reach more people. I also want to leave you with this scripture just to strengthen you to know that when you give into God's work, God takes it seriously. Deuteronomy 15:10 teaches, give generously, okay, to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That is a promise that when you give into God's work, God will take it seriously and He blesses you back abundantly. So, friend, as you have been blessed by these teachings, we thank you in advance for blessing us back. So here are some ways you can donate into this ministry anywhere in the world. All you need is internet access. Here is our safe and very secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, it is drruthtanyi.org/donate. You can make a donation right there. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart, we receive it and we say thank you. If you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here is the telephone number. It's 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi, that is for Cash App. And we thank you abundantly for investing into this fruitful ministry, and together we are advancing God's work and transforming lives. So we thank you for your donation, and God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. Here is the teaching. Okay, so with that background, now let us get into the verses proper. Luke chapter 8. Verse 1. After this, now if you are wondering after what, hopefully you have listened to the previous session. We discussed this out of chapter 7, how the Lord Jesus was anointed by a sinful woman, and he was in the home of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had judged him, Jesus, and judged the woman, and the Lord Jesus took that as an opportunity to teach the Pharisees. So what this is saying is, after this incident, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, just as he was called, teaching how the kingdom of God operates. The 12 were with him, meaning the 12 disciples. Verse 2, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This is awesome. This is a beautiful picture of God's redemption in the lives of these women, and we see a positive Christ-like response from these women. What do I mean? As an example, Mary Magdalene, the Lord Jesus casted out 7 demons. We are learning how Mary Magdalene, along with the other women that the Lord had delivered from their attacks or from their diseases or from whatever they were dealing with, they were redeemed by the Lord Jesus, and they wholeheartedly started following the Lord Jesus, traveling with him, and out of their own money, they were supporting the Lord Jesus's ministry. We see here how the Lord Jesus redeemed these women from their demonic attacks and their illnesses, and these women are responding correctly by becoming true, genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and supporting him physically and even financially. This is awesome. Doesn't this sound familiar that the Bible teaches us to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength? Isn't that what we see here, friend? Do you show this kind of love towards Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you from yourself, from the fallen nature? How do you show the Lord Jesus that you love him? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jesus himself teaches us out of the Gospel of John that The primary way that we show the world and Him and the Father that we love Him is by obeying Him. So are you obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you obey Him, you serve Him through serving others, okay? So just what a beautiful picture how these women were so dedicated to helping the Lord Jesus financially. And talking about financially, that has not ended. God still depends on His followers to give into His work. Mm-hmm. As the Lord is blessing you in your life, are you giving into God's work to advance the kingdom? We see these women here supporting the Lord Jesus' ministry financially. That's awesome. So hopefully you can support other faithful ministries like our ministry, your local church, financially so we can advance God's kingdom. Okay, moving on. Verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told this parable. So at this time, the Lord Jesus was very famous. Word about Him had spread throughout the area. He was drawing large crowds. So He is about to teach them this parable, which He calls, at least according to Mark's gospel, the foundational parable in order to understand how the kingdom of God works in the here and now. So, Jesus Himself will explain this parable in depth, beginning here in verse 11. So, as we go through this, I am not going to explain verbatim, but it will become obvious when we get into verse 11. So, the parable begins here in verse 5. The Lord Jesus continues, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." I have already explained what a farmer means and what the seed stands for. Okay. "As he was scattering the seed, i.e. as the preacher was preaching, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up." Already, if you recall, I had said that the birds represent Satan. This is a classic example of an unbeliever who heard the word. It appears as if it enters through one ear and off the other. When I was growing up, we had a saying that it's like throwing water on a camel's back, and the camel would just shake it and the water goes off, meaning that no effect. So that is what we are learning here from this first person who listened to the word of God. Okay, we continue here. We are in verse 6. "Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture." Okay, again, we see how this is now a believer who listened to the word of God, but then the word of God got into their heart. It had no moisture, meaning that their hearts were barren. They didn't allow the word of God to take root into their hearts. So the word of God didn't produce any fruit, okay? It didn't produce any stability in their lives because the hearer, the believer, didn't allow the word of God to be nourished in their heart. They didn't allow the word of God to take effect in their heart. I know some of you may be wondering, how do you nourish the word of God? Well, through prayer, through meditation, pondering and pondering and seeking God for clarity and deeper truths, and being patient. So this second type of heart or person who is a believer is just an impatient person. So the word of God, as we are told here, had no moisture. It was dry and barren. It had no effect in their life. Friend, you see, God's word is truth, but it requires response from our part. As you're listening to me right now, open your heart, allow the word of God to penetrate deep into your soul, and then you meditate on that. So you are responsible, just like I am responsible for the response, how I receive the word of God. That is not God's job. Okay, I hope you're getting this. We move on to verse 7. "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants." So thorns here, what is a thorn? A thorn is a sharp, piercing object. So in this person's life, the word of God came into their heart, but they were just bombarded with issues in life, sharp, burning issues in life. It could be financial issues. You know, thorns just represent anything in your life that is bothering you. Anything in your life that you're struggling to cast that thing to the Lord. A thorn is just anything that gets in the way in you enjoying this life. It could be broken relationships. It could be a current sickness. It could be financial. It could be internal pressures. And all of these thorns are really internal pressures, okay? So in this case, the Word of God didn't have a chance because this person or this hearer or hearers are more concerned about their problems and not paying much attention to the Word of God. Okay, so we move on to verse 8. Still others' seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. This fourth type of hearer or person is God's will for all of us. It was a good soul. It was a good heart. It is a hearer who is open and willing and submissive and obedient to the Word of God. And they make the Word of God a priority in their life. They've learned how to cast their care. They depend on the Word of God as their only foundation to overcome crisis. And it is. And, you know, I also want to say that these four types of responses or hearts can also represent a process in the life of a believer. Because I have ministered to hundreds of believers who've told me that when they first started spending time with the Lord, they didn't even care much about the Word of God. But because of the grace of God, and they just started opening their heart and they just learned through the process of casting their care. They just learned through the process of depending on the Word of God as they saw God's faithfulness in their lives. So all of us go through this process. The key is that you recognize the Word of God as truth, incorruptible, as perfect, the Word of God as your best weapon and the best tool that you have to overcome, and God the Holy Spirit is always there willing to help you, and likewise Satan is always there wanting to steal the Word of God. So you have to make that decision if you want to lean more towards the Word of God, stand on His promises, or just relax and give Satan inroad into your heart. And as you make a decision to stand and trust God's Word, you will grow. You will start to easily overcome these thorns and all these issues. And then you will get to the point of what the Lord said here about this fourth person who produced abundance of fruits. Okay? So now we move on. When he, referring to the Lord Jesus, said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." The Lord Jesus always says this, and he is not referring to your physical ears. He's referring to your heart. In other words, he is saying that whoever has a willing and open heart to listen to these truths, let them receive it. Mm-hmm. Just exactly what I was just saying. So as you're listening to me right now, are you a passive listener or are you an attentive listener? That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. As children of God, we are called to be attentive listeners. As we are listening to the Word of God, we open our heart to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to plant deep truths into our hearts, okay? So, his disciples, we are now in verse 9. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. This is interesting because the disciples were really interested in knowing the truth, obviously. They asked this question. And the Lord Jesus is going to respond by quoting an Old Testament scripture here. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Obviously, because he was with his disciples, he is revealing God the Father to them. The disciples' hearts are open to receive the secrets of the kingdom of God. And then the Lord Jesus has said, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. That is a quotation out of Isaiah 6:9. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is like, to you, my disciples, just like he's speaking to us today, we have access to the secrets of the kingdom of God, okay? We have the truth that the Word of God, which is perfect, flawless, incorruptible, is the Word of God that is transformative in our lives. That same Word of God that enable us to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is still that word of God that the Holy Spirit is using to sanctify us, to mold and shape us into the image of God. As we yield our hearts to the word of God, as we yield our hearts to Jesus Christ, we obey his teachings, then the Holy Spirit will do his work. This is a secret of growth in the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, they are not interested. They listen, it goes into one ear of the other. So he speaks in parables because they are not interested in the first place. And I want to say something about parables here. The interesting thing about parables, especially the parables of Jesus Christ, honestly, for someone who is genuinely willing to learn spiritual truths and their hearts are open and sensitive, these parables are straightforward and the meanings are readily obvious, okay? But for those who are not interested in spiritual things, the parables is just too much work for them because they are lazy. Mm-hmm. So that is really what I wanted to say about parables. Okay, we are in verse 11. The Lord Jesus will begin now to explain this parable to his disciples. Okay, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Exactly. That is the first type of heart, first type of response, or first type of person I describe as an unbeliever. Boy, they listen to the word of God, Satan just steals it and off he goes. Again, Satan is a thief, as I had already explained. Okay, so we move on here to the second type of heart or person, which is a believer. The Lord Jesus continued. We are now in verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. Exactly. And why don't they have root? They believe the word of God with joy. They didn't have root because, as I explained earlier, they are impatient. And this is still evident today. There are people who go to church, they hear the word of God, it's all superficial. It's all hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. They are just excited, but they don't take the time to meditate on the word of God. Friend, you got to. Excitement is awesome, it's great, but you need to sit quiet with the Lord, take the word, you ponder on it, you give it time. So just being joyful and jumping up and down the pew, that's not gonna cut it. You gotta give the word of God time in your heart. That is what we're seeing in this second type of person, okay? So if you are that type of person who easily gets excited and you don't even take time to meditate on the word of God, you can change that today. If you want the word of God to take root in your heart as that solid foundation, God has given us really just a couple of options. Spend time in his presence, meditation, and just praying for revelation. So that is what we hear from the Lord Jesus here. We move on now. The belief, this is still continuing here with that second type of heart, which is a believer. The belief for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. They fall away because, as I explained, they had no root. You know, these are people who could hear that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, and they are attacked with a disease. They get so excited that it is God's will for them to receive that healing, and they don't take time to meditate on healing scriptures, so they easily give up. Okay? That is the testing there, and we will be tested. God, you see, God doesn't send us into temptation. Temptations are all from the devil, okay? God will never tempt us, but God will allow testing in our lives so that we can grow in this relationship with him, so we can grow and mature as believers. So testing is good because, let me ask you, if you just take the word of God and you memorize it and you're never given the opportunity to put it to practice when the crisis comes, how do you know what you believe? You see what I'm saying? So testing is good because it enables you to put to practice what you think you believe. And then if you fail the test, it's an opportunity to say, oh my God, I need to grow in this area of my life. And if you pass the test, you're mature, but guess what? Another testing will come. That's just the way it is. We just keep growing, okay? So these people who are very shallow and very impatient, when they are attacked for the word's sake, they get attacked because of God's promises. They have no root. They easily give up. We move on now to the next type of person here. That is the third type of heart or response. This is in verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked with life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Exactly. I had described what a thorn is, or thorns. These are just things that bothers you, or problems, and these are people who really struggle to cast their care. They want to take control of every circumstance. And as a child of God, we are called to believe God's promises and to cast our burdens upon the Lord and not to worry about them. But if you are that type of a person who wants to solve every problem on your own, you want to rely on your own human wisdom and reasoning, boy, you are going to be attacked with so many thorns, and Satan will make sure that he attacks you. But the quicker you learn to cast your care, trust the word of God, stand on his promises, the better you will become, the better you will allow the word of God to work in your life. So when you are trying to worry about your problems and you're just thinking about your problems rather than meditating on the solutions, the word of God won't work for you. So you can switch that, meditate on the solutions, the promises in God's word, and not on your problems. Okay, verse 15. We move on now to the fourth type of response, or fourth type of person or heart. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This is awesome. And if you were to study this in the Gospels of Mark and even in Matthew, let me just go to Mark here. Mark ended that parable by saying that this fourth type of response produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. Essentially, the bottom line is that this fourth type of heart or personal response, as I had already described, is a person who is submissive to the word of God. They have chosen to make the word of God the sure foundation in their lives. They are submissive, they are obedient, and as a result, they produce an abundance of harvest. In other words, they are able to overcome crises. They are able to see the blessings and the manifestation of God in their lives. They are able to live in the spirit and receive the best that God has for them. They are able to fight and prevent Satan to steal the word from their heart. This fourth type of response is God's will for all of us. But as I mentioned earlier, we have a responsibility how we allow the word of God to work in our hearts. So I'm going to end this session here. We've covered a lot. So what is the key principle and application here? Number one, the word of God is the primary tool that we have to stand and overcome in this world, okay? And if you've listened to my previous session, I discussed in this same Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, the wise and foolish builders, how to take the word of God and apply it into your life and overcome. Boy, I really recommend you go back and listen to Luke, the wise and foolish builders. Listen to that, it's powerful. Number two, we need to learn how to guard the word of God in our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 teaches us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. Satan's main goal is to steal the word of God from you, because Satan knows that the word of God is powerful. Satan knows that the word of God is life. Satan knows that the word of God is incorruptible. That if you can stand on God's promises, you take the word of God, you apply it in your life, boy, Satan, he is defeated. So he wants to quickly steal the word of God from your heart. That way you're defeated. And how can he steal it if you begin to doubt the word of God? Mm-hmm. If you don't take time to ponder on the word of God, meditate and pray over the word of God, you just become an easy target for Satan. So don't allow that to happen. Okay. And the fourth principle and application here is that of patience, that we are taught in Hebrews 6:12, that it is through faith and perseverance that we receive God's blessings. Through faith and perseverance that we see the manifestation of God's promises in our lives. So friend, the key application here is that make the word of God the final authority in your life. Use the word of God to make all decisions and pay attention to the word of God in your heart. Give it time. Spend time meditating in the word of God, seeking clarity from God the Holy Spirit, being a very diligent and attentive studier of the word of God. Just trust God's promises. And friend, as you do that, you would be guarding your heart and you would be preventing Satan from stealing the word of God from your heart. And then you would be living life as that last response that the Lord Jesus tells us, that you would produce an abundance of fruit, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can even imagine in accordance to the power that is in us. And that's the power of faith, believing in God's promises and standing. I hope you received today's session. I hope you've been blessed by this. Let us just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, which is truth. We thank you for your word that is our sure foundation. We just thank you for the Holy Spirit that is ever present to enable us to live the word of God, and is enabling us to live as overcomers through Christ. We thank you for today. I just lift up all the listeners that you have spoken to their hearts, and you are meeting each of them at their unique places of need, that you are showing them specific areas in their lives where they can grow, and you are giving them the wisdom how to guard your heart so Satan will steal no more. Father, we thank you for your good God, for we trust that you have answered this prayer, and I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody who agrees says, Amen. Thank you, friend. Listen to the announcer and find out how you can support this ministry with your loved gift, financial donation, so we can advance God's work. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation. which means that all your donations are 100% tax deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and goodbye for now.